Hi, everybody. Welcome to Battle Ready. You know, Battle Ready is the show about how people reinvent themselves, what their journey looks like. And we all realize that a lot of things happen in people's journey, some good, some bad. But it's not about what happens. It's just how you recover or react to it. You know, today we have the opportunity to meet with an owner-operator of Andy's Bar and Grill in the Cypress area. He's an amazing gentleman, Andy Correa. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Appreciate it. So we've known each other for a little while. And definitely have eaten at your restaurant, man.
Yes,
guys,
sir.
You need to go to this place. It's in Cypress. We're going to talk and show you where it's at. But, you know, as we talk, I get to learn more and more about you.
Yes, sir.
I think one of the amazing things is, you know, your family's originally from Uruguay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
South America.
So, Uruguay. So, early on, the early 70s, you know, there was an opportunity. Your dad was a police officer and he owned a restaurant over in Uruguay.
Yes, sir.
Right? And there was a medical situation that you needed assistance, your family needed assistance. So, your family came to the Shriners in Galveston.
Yes, sir.
To get assistance, and that's how you guys came to the United
yes,
States,
sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And during that time, I think, and this was even before you were born, right? Right,
yes,
early
sir.
On, right?
Yes, sir.
So, and I want to tell everybody a story because, you know, they always say that the U.S. is the melting pot. You never realize where everybody's from and what they've been through.
Yeah.
So, your dad had a restaurant, but financial reason, they decided to go back, close it, and move here permanently
yes, sir.
For the assistance,
yeah.
And because the U.S. is a melting pot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the opportunity to basically help the situation at that time, it was something that was going to be something simple in their mind, and it ended up being a long journey for them to come and spend so many years here getting everything corrected and getting my brother up and running. So
okay.
They decided to move to the United States, and that was in the mid-70s, probably around 74 or so. And I was blessed to be born in the United States of America here in Houston, Texas.
All right, so first generation Uruguayan.
First generation here in Houston, Texas, yes,
all
sir.
All right, so you're from the Cypress area then, growing
yes.
up?
Born and raised in the Cypress area, yes, sir.
Okay, and then you graduated from Langham Creek.
Langham Creek High School in 1995.
And then you worked at the Cypress School District for quite a while.
Yeah, so I left the school district as a student and less than a year later, I was working for Cypher ISD. I ended up working there for 24 and a half years, almost 25 years.
25 years,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
So during this time, and actually I think when we were talking earlier, you know, early on in your teens, you started working in restaurants.
Yeah.
As in your blood, huh?
Yeah. So I, you know, off and on a little as my parents had their, because they had a restaurant here in Spring Branch as well in the early 70s when I was a toddler running around, the kitchen running around the front and everything. Something that I always had an eye for, a passion for. Going through high school, I worked at several different restaurants and waited tables, moved up into management, and did that for a while, along with working for Cypher ISD.
So, also you had a passion for cooking competitions, right?
Yeah, so we started doing small cook-offs, small competitions, menus, downtown Houston and things like that. We placed top 10 the first time we were there, so we got kind of excited about that and started doing smaller cook-offs, ended up doing Rodeo Houston. We've done several other small fundraising type, anything that has to do with helping education or helping fallen veterans or police officers, things like that. So we've done Hold 'em and Hit 'em. We've done the Wild Game Cook-Off. We've done several of those things that the proceeds go to help. So you're cooking for a cause. You're not just competing to get a trophy. You're competing because along with the other teams, they get sponsorships and things like that, and it ended up helping people that need.
And so, you know, I've always realized, and I've known this from you, it's all about a service atmosphere, right?
Yes, sir.
Serving others and any opportunity you have to get involved in,
yeah.
in situations to serve others, that's amazing. So we also talked about that you did some on the side of the street barbecuing in the
yeah.
heat of Houston.
Yeah, so as I wanted to do things pretty much on my own, I would set up pop-ups. I would do, you know, I had friends that owned properties and things throughout Cypress. So I would actually pull up my barbecuing rig and sell food on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday afternoons. And all that went to our little, I guess you could say my GoFundMe account for funding in the future. I was wanting to do my own thing, and that's how I started. I literally started selling food on the side of the road.
So the Andy Fund Me.
Yeah, the Andy's Mobile Kitchen. That's where it all started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so So cooking on the side. So you worked a full-time job.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. And then on the Thursday through Sunday, you go out there.
Yep.
And in the heat.
I would cook. Leave work 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was working the morning shifts at Cypher during that time. On Friday and Saturdays, I would set up, prep everything on Thursdays, and Friday and Saturday, smoke my meat and put out whatever, brisket, sausage, chicken, whatever I had on the grill, and pretty much blessings that we sold out pretty much every weekend. There was never a weekend where we would have a void or not have a...
Have extra.
Have extra, yeah.
So so now this is a lot of hours.
Yeah. Yep. I've always worked 2 and 3 jobs. My ethic, watching my father growing up, that he worked so many hours to get, you know, food on the table and provide for us, it kind of rubbed off on me, so to speak. And I made sure that whatever I needed for my family, for my loved ones, like you said before, helping the community out, work is not an issue. Long hours is not an issue. We just make sure we take care of people. And how you do that is being a part of the community, being whatever, and then... You know, I've always learned that the quickest way to a person's heart is feed them.
Yes, sir.
And so I enjoy doing that.
So real fast, tell me where Andy's Kitchen is and Andy's Bar and Grill. Where are they located at?
So we're in Cypress off of 290. Andy's Kitchen is on 290 and Mason, right there in the entrance of the Fairfield community in Cypress. Our second location that we opened up is on 290 and Mushke. It's off of... between Mushke and Mason Road off the feeder, right there in Cypress, Texas as well.
And you have a lot of things going there also, don't you?
Yes, sir. So at the kitchen, you know, it's a home-cooked Texas-style backyard burger. Several to choose from. We have over 25, 30 burgers there at the Andy's Kitchen. Now at Andy's Bar and Grill, we have more room. That's a bigger location. We have something every day going on. Monday and Tuesday, kids eat free. Wednesday, we have open mic. Karaoke. Thursday we do music bingo. Friday we do karaoke as well. And then on Saturday and Sunday we do live entertainment. Local singers, acoustic bands and things like that. 99% of them are all in the Cypress area, trying to keep it all Cypress oriented.
So this goes back to you saying earlier that it's all about serving. And yeah. So you're giving people opportunity to show themselves.
Yep.
On a stage that of your restaurant to give them just straight up opportunity.
Yeah.
We just
want people to come in and feel like they're at home. And how do you do that? You have Monday and Tuesday where kids eat free. I've been in business now with between Andy's Kitchen now for the last 9 or 10 years. So kids that were coming in that are elementary school are now in college and graduated from college, and they still, hey, Mr. Andy, how you doing? Do you remember me? And those type of things are moving. You know, you not only are a part of a restaurant in the community, you build relationships with the friends and family and people that come in and out of the restaurants, and that's real important to me. Because it's not just, hey, there's the guy that came in and ate a burger and was happy. It's a relationship you build. My customers know me. I go to them. I talk to them. I talk to their kids. I do their graduation parties on our catering site. So it's more than just having a business in the area.
You're part of the community.
I'm part of the community.
So... Let's go back to Cypher. You're getting ready to do. You're doing all this cooking and everything. What kind of feedback did you get from your peers, your friends? I mean,
well, the thing about it was always, hey, let's go to Andy's house. He's barbecuing this weekend. Or even when I worked for the Cypher School District, I would get food and prepare food for my staff. I several times cooked for the entire staff, over 800 people. I would get with vendors and things like that, and we'd put together a meal for the entire staff.
So
making them feel appreciated. And again, I go back to what I said, keeping people happy. You give them a little food, you combine that with the thank you for what they do on a day in and day out, and it just goes the extra mile.
So everybody likes that, but now you're talking about, you know, I think you said you started a food truck, right? Back between, you know, before they were cool, right?
Yeah. In 2010, 12, in that area, time frame, I had my own food truck. And the reason for that is because when I did caterings and things like that on the side, I needed a kitchen. So I got my food truck. I got it licensed to be able to use in Harris County. And I just did that on the weekends, parties, family, friends events, and things like that. Never thought that it would evolve to where I'm at today.
So I'm sure people said you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Several. You know, you have friends that, you know, you're in a position where you're in the district, you've been working there for 25 years. Why would you jump into something on your own, leaving everything behind like that? 9 out of 10 restaurants fail. You know, there's so much competition. You have corporate America that's got all these restaurants around you. What's going to make it so different for you? And it feels good to be able to show them that it's having a restaurant is one thing, but being a part of the community and having the community be part of your business, it's just a win-win for everybody.
And it's easy, right?
My heart says it's easy.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's times where you get home, 2:30 in the morning after being at work since 4:30 in the morning because you came in to do a catering. So you're working 19, 20 hours a day and you're physically tired. But the reward is you're taking care of your business and the business is taking care of your family. So that's what, you know, it's a mathematical win.
It's an emotional one for sure, right?
For sure. It's a ride. You got days where you're stressed out about paying bills, and then you have other days where you're so busy and everything is paying itself off and you're doing great. So it's a win-win for the situation, knowing that you're being successful. Success is not measured by what you've accomplished, a trophy or this or that. It's accomplished by what you're doing, what difference you're making in the community. And that's what keeps me going.
Well, you know what? We're going to get back and talk about this a little bit more. Guys, we're getting ready to go to commercial. Thank you for joining us so far, and thank you for visiting with us.
Thank you for letting us be here.
Welcome back to Battle Ready, guys. I'm with Andy Correa, the owner, operator of Andy's Bar and Grill and Andy's Kitchen in Cypress, Texas. Sir. Welcome back, man.
Thank you.
We had a pretty interesting quick session earlier and talk quick lifestyle in the box, right? Real quick.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk a little bit about, people starting their own business, especially restaurant business.
Yep.
Man, was it always easy? Tell me about that.
Well, it's never easy, right? You have breathing down your back the everyday competition, other small mom and pop restaurants that do things. You have chains that are around you that pop up left and right. I opened up my first restaurant in 2018. There was maybe 3 or 4 choices of American style food. You talk about that today and there's twice as much. Obviously they have the corporate backing we don't have. So we have to do something different. And what we do different is always fresh food, never frozen ingredients. We strive for the service piece. Me as the owner being involved with my customers. I'm there 6 or 7 days a week to make sure most of the time I'm there indirectly open to close. And they asked me that question, do you ever sleep? Do you ever have, you know, and that's a sacrifice that I have to do. You know, family understands. I understand that, you know, there's things that we have to do, but that's part of what I signed up for. And that's what I instill in myself to make sure the quality and the service is there. And that's what it's kind of like of the rhythm that we have at the restaurant. All my employees know my customers are the most important thing that walk in the door. Whether they're there to ask a question or have a full meal, whether it's a party of one or a party of 20, we always treat everybody with the amount of genuineness to make sure that they understand that we're proud to have the plate of food that we're gonna serve them, and we're proud to have the establishments that we have.
Do you ever wanna quit? Did you ever, early on, I know now it's running like you said earlier, it's running like music, right?
Yeah.
So early on, man, I mean, what would you tell that entrepreneur out there that's wanting to start? I mean, it's not like always perfect, or even at the beginning, it's probably less than fun at all. Talk about that.
I've felt defeated a lot of times because you put so much into it and the outcome of it, it's slower than the input. But the competitive side of me, I've always been wanting to, I mean, it could be a simple card game, domino game, a video game that you're playing growing up, even Pac-Man. You always want to be that top scorer. You always want to do, you know, I grew up where second place was the first loser. So you always instill yourself in pushing yourself to do more and do better. And that shows in our reputation. If you look at our reviews, if you have customer feedback. You try to always, I mean, I remember my first couple of weeks when I first opened, anything that was said that wasn't perfect or wasn't, you know, some wrong or something that we did that we could have done better, that, you know, I stewed over that to make sure we learn from our mistakes and we do better. Have I ever felt like giving up? To the point where I did give up? Obviously not. But there's times where I felt like, you know, did I do the right thing by starting my own restaurant? Like, you know, I said, there's so many different choices out there, especially where we're at in Cyprus. There's restaurants at every corner. What makes us different? Our quality of food and our involvement with the community. And that's what makes it a lot easier.
So did you ever find yourself having to, this is a hard question, I don't want no names now.
Yeah.
But have that person, your that naysayer in your ear saying, hey man, you don't need to do this. You've got a great career. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you do this on your own? Man, just stay where you're at.
Yeah. I've had, you know, job offers and things like that throughout the times to indirectly, I guess, better myself. But I had an older gentleman years ago when I was growing up tell me that you can live for your dreams and your passion and follow those and do what you can for yourself, or you can help somebody else build their dreams and passion by working for them. And I guess I'm selfish in that point. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do it for me. I'm going to do it for my family, my friends. And, you know, when I was selling food on the side of the road, that was something that instilled in me that even though I'm out here in the heat, I could be at home watching television, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to see what it was like. You know, I had all the equipment to do it, so I did it. And here I am today with two restaurants.
So what about mentors? You say you had that old guy. Did you have any mentors? I know you talked a lot about your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, in our drive over here, about how he instilled such a great work ethic in you, yeah. and you're very proud of him. But any other mentors that helped you out during the years?
Yeah. I mean, I have coworkers. I had, you know, bosses and things like that. You know, I was younger working at Walmart as well. And I had, you know, a manager that saw something in me. And I was 16, 17 years old, and I was running a crew. And that was one of the things that leadership, you know, on and off in sports, you know, something our coaches instilled in us. I had coaches. I mean, I still have coaches today that come and visit me at the restaurant that still live in the Cyprus area that have known me since middle school, high school. And they always talk about, you know, there was something always unique about you pushing yourself to do things. You know, and that's what I carried on. You know, I instilled that in my family as well. But, you know, having my dad tell me all the time, you know, you've done X, Y, and Z. You need to keep pushing. It was never settle for what you have. Always look for more. And that's one of the things that I do daily, and I still do it today.
I know I saw you the other day, a couple of days ago, actually, and I had went to watch some karaoke on Friday, and it was a late night, and then saw you early the next day. I'm like, man, did you sleep? Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And how's that? I mean,
well, you know, it's motivating to know, obviously, I'm part of the team. I need to be there to set the example. I need my employees to see, you know, I have some times where we're shorthanded, so somebody's got to work a double shift or what have you. You know, I work double shifts all the time because I don't want my employees to say, he's expecting us to do, all these extra things, and he's not willing to do it. I'm shorthanded in the kitchen, I jump in the kitchen. I need help in the bar, I bartend. If, you know, tables need to be busted, I bust. If I need to wash dishes, I do dishes. I don't have that persona or the mentality. I've already accomplished what I accomplished, so I need my people to do what I'm supposed to do or what they are paid to do. I'm part of the team. I'm part of the community. I jump in and do whatever I got to do to help my staff, so that way we are all successful, not a success just for me. I want the people under me to be just as successful. And when they come to work, I want them to be happy. I don't want them to have that attitude and mentality, oh, I have to come to work because I have to pay my bills. I want them to enjoy being there. And how you do that, you set the tone. You're there with them, you're beside them, and you're fighting the battles with them.
So that's a lot of discipline, right?
Yeah.
So that lead by example, that's that military thing I always talk about. Yeah. You actually do that, live it, huh?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go into the military. You know, part of me wanted to early on, but I had an injury. But the thing is, that's the way the people should live their lives. Be leaders, know when to follow, know when to step up and do what you have to do, know your role, and do everything with that excitement that, look what we've achieved, look what we're getting, look what we're going to do. And always have a list of things to do, but you list things list twice as much as you think you could do so you could push yourself. Have that inner personal strength to do more.
You know, and okay, so we talked about the two restaurants. But on top of that, you still run a pretty a lucrative catering business, don't you?
Yeah. I've been catering since 97. It started off as an assistant just helping out on the weekends with my uncle and another couple of people. And we do catering from both restaurants. And part of the catering is a lot of times it's donations, it's fundraising and things like that to help the community, help schools, help nonprofits. We just did a catering for the American Red Cross. We did 350 baked potatoes. We started that day at 2 a.m. to get the potatoes ready by 10:30 at the drop-off time. And that day, that was on a Thursday. That was the day you saw me on Friday. I came in on Thursday morning, I guess Friday morning actually, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and Saturday morning I left around 1. So it was a long day, but at the end of the day, we fed people with a cause. It was all the volunteers for the American Red Cross. And it's just cooking for a cause. It makes a lot of difference. And it makes you understand that it's not just throwing something in a skillet or on the grill. It's feeding people that you are thanking for what they do.
So you also said, and when we talked earlier on today, that you're not school profession trained, but this has been a journey of experiences,
yeah.
Good, bad. I remember you telling me that you tried different ingredients, and,
yes.
And then it just tastes too sweet. And this, talk to me about that aspect.
So all of our seasonings there at the restaurants, at both restaurants, from our burger to steak seasonings to our pastas to our French fries, all that stuff is made from my recipes. We started, with our rubs for our barbecue, and that's what I use today on my pulled pork, our hamburgers and steaks. It's a recipe that we came up with trial and error, and that's what we've won awards on different cook-offs and things like that. So I've kept that on. It just makes you satisfied when your customer asks you, what do you use? And you walk in the back and you grab your bag of seasoning, which has your label on it with your logo, and you show them, this is what we use. It's not just, store-bought, open up a Ziploc bag and throw it on the grill or whatever. Everything is measured, everything is done professionally and from scratch. A lot of trial and error.
Was there ever any times where that was so painful as like, I ain't doing this, I'm just gonna...
Well, and that's good. Yeah, it's funny you asked that. There's been a lot of times where, different items on the menu that didn't sell at the beginning or what have you. A lot of the times it was because it wasn't being properly described or sold from even myself, not only my wait staff. But now that we've, the items that, everything on the menu, everybody, I've tried this and wow, we tried your pasta and now we tried your appetizers and everything is so fresh and everything is so good. We just thought you were a hamburger joint. It's just, it goes to show what we can accomplish by putting a little love into it. Our slogan at our kitchen is a small kitchen with a big heart. And it's something that we came up with because a customer kind of threw that out there. It's kind of like, the saying, you can't ever trust a skinny cook. We had a customer come in and say, hey, even though you have a small restaurant, you have a big heart for what you do. And that was something that, just hit me just right. A small kitchen with a big heart.
All right, guys, we'll be right back with Andy Correa from Andy's Grill. We're going to commercial. Welcome back to Babel Ready. This is Ricky Chavez out here in Houston, Texas, with Andy Correa out of Cypress, owner of the bar, Andy's Bar and Grill, Andy's Grill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
All right, we've been talking a lot about your experiences and all your involvement in the neighborhoods and with nonprofits. But let's talk about some setbacks, man.
Yeah.
Ever had a setback?
Well, let's go back to, as I went into opening up Andy's Kitchen in 2019, we had, I remember this clear as day, going back and forth, making sure ends meet, bills paid, this and that. We hear on the radio and on TV that COVID is rising and they're making decisions on shutting down common people's places, TV shows come out and they say, you can't go to the movies, you can't go here, restaurants are going to be shut down. I looked pretty much in the mirror and said, what am I going to do? Everything that I have is based on what I'm doing here at the restaurant. And the rumors and the community talking about they're going to shut everything down, who knows how long it'll be shut down for. On a Monday, we hear on TV, actually on the news, that today would be the final day where people could actually go to restaurants. The message that a lot of restaurant owners received was, you're having to shut down. I was in shock. I was cold. I didn't know what was going to happen. Here it is Monday. It's normally a slow day, and we get slammed because people are saying, if this is the last day we can go out to a restaurant, let's go. So we had a line out the door. Blessed by that, right? And then we got more details and more information that it wasn't that they're going to shut us down. You couldn't have people dining in. With my previous experience of working at other places and stuff like that, I said, well, we can fix that. I got all my social media together. I went and bought to-go boxes, a lot of them, and we transformed into carry-out and delivery. I hired some extra people that didn't have jobs at the time, and they were my drivers, and they came through, and we did delivery and carry-out only. We reinvented the wheel on how we did that, and that was a blessing. We were busier than normal. We had more. I had to hire other restaurant cooks that other restaurants that indirectly kind of laid them off. I went from two cooks to eight cooks, and from in the front, from two people to four people. We expanded phone lines. We added two more phone lines, and it was amazing how we were able to adapt to that. Other restaurants actually called me and asked me for pointers and ideas of what I was doing because they saw my social media presence and out of the box thoughts and how we did that. So we
were able to trial by fire, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I guess that was one of the biggest things that we accomplished to overcome that issue. On Monday, I thought I was done. And on Tuesday, we reinvented the wheel and look at where we're at now.
And I think also you had mentioned that you had various attempted partnerships early in the years with other people on different ventures with restaurants.
Yeah.
And they didn't always work out. So,
When you have the philosophy of you being thankful for customers walking in the door versus them being thankful that you have an operation or a restaurant, and that was my thing. I'm thankful for every individual that walks in my door at either of my locations or even when we do caterings offsite. I'm thankful for every opportunity that I get to take care of a person in need of assistance in food, whether it be a fundraiser, a nonprofit organization, or a regular customer every day. I treat them with the utmost respect, and I give them the opportunity to give me their input to make things. A lot of times you hear that what you should do, and I'm open to that. I listen to that because there's a lot of times a lot of the items on the menu and things like that are things that are created for our customers based on their opinion and your thoughts.
Well, you mentioned earlier in one of the segments that your slogan came from a customer, right?
It did.
And so, I mean, that takes a lot. A lot of people aren't very receptive to you should or you could or you would.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can't fix nothing unless you know, right?
Well, both restaurants, actually, the slogans that I have, the kitchen being a small kitchen with a big heart, and over at the bar, great food and good times. That was also a customer that says, we come here, you have great food, and we always have a great time. So that's how that great food, good times came up too. And that's actually on the front of the sign outside.
Okay. So we've talked about these, where you're at right now. Let's show them again, how does people find you or even get some catering business your way on here in Houston?
So you can go to our website, obviously, at www.andysbarandgrillcypresstx.com. We also, our Facebook page and things like that. So,
and I did see your Facebook page a minute. I saw that smoked old fashioned. I know people that like that drink for sure. And you say you have karaoke, you have different events.
Yeah.
You can actually set up for groups, right?
We do. We do have a back room. We call it the Texas Room. You'll see a 16-foot LED lit up flag back there. That holds anywhere from 25 to 30 people. You can get that anytime. Also, we do private events. We did a Super Bowl party for one of the high school baseball teams as a fundraiser, and that was an excellent success there. So, like I said, we're always trying to do something different. Every day has a theme. Every day has, you know, steak night on Thursday nights. Monday, Tuesday, kids eat free. Wednesday is open mic karaoke, so people that want to play their guitar or play the fiddle or do anything like that, they could do that in a public setting. You know, on Thursday nights, we do music bingo. People come in and have fun. It's free to play, and they just come in and have a good time. Friday night is 100% karaoke. That's one of our busiest nights. You got a lot of people that enjoy being up there and having a good time. And then Saturday and Sunday, we open up the stage for local people that do acoustic shows and bands as well.
So if you're a local artist in Houston or in Cypress, reach out to Andy. Maybe you get an opportunity to go and go to his restaurant and show your skills. Yeah. That's pretty awesome that he gives that opportunity.
Yep.
So we've been through first level Uruguayan American citizen. You're your family from Uruguay.
Yes,
you guys came over. You've made it. And you said that your parents had a restaurant early on, right?
Yeah, in Spring Branch. They a little bit sooner than I guess if you look at Houston today. The diversity that there is in food, you can pretty much find food worldwide, food at several different restaurants and things like that. In the early 70s, it wasn't known to have a South American grill. They didn't, they were, I think it was like in 1973 to 4, somewhere in there, where they opened up their restaurant. And they had it for about 2.5 years. And my dad decided to go back into the working industry, so.
I'll tell you this. I've, you know, in my business, I you said it earlier, very diverse. Houston's amazingly diverse. And I've had clients from everywhere from Peru to Egypt to Russia to you name it. Mm-hmm. And you're right. There's a restaurant. You can find a restaurant for everything here.
Yep.
So that's pretty awesome. So yeah. Even with your parents deciding to not go on with future, you still decide to go to the restaurant business.
Yeah, I've always dreamed to have my own business. I remember, you know, a kid growing up, everybody wants to do a lemonade stand or what have you. Mine was a little different. My mind was like, you know, I want to open up a huge lemonade stand or what have you. So I got like 4 or 5 friends together, and we did a block. We stacked up pallets and did all kinds of stuff on a weekend, I remember, and we sold lemonade. So I guess I always had that in me that I wanted to do my own thing, and my passion for cooking, I combined all of that. And working for the school district for so many years, you get to meet so many people. So I kind of had a foundation there. The seed was planted. You know a lot of people and you're successful doing what you do on a working level. I decided, you know what, I need to do this on my own. And I just woke up one day and jumped in.
And no looking back.
No looking back. Everything.
So what would you tell that entrepreneur out there they need to be ready for going into a business on their own?
Your mindset. Your mindset that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be where you just put a sign on the door and you open up and you can have, you know, people working for you, an executive chef or what have you, and you're just going to be a business owner. You have to do more than that. It's got to be set in stone that you're there to be different, and you're there to make sure that your experience in your location or in your business is going to be unique, and you're going to have the right product followed up with the right service.
I think owning a restaurant is, as you said, you weren't in the military, and I get that, but it's no different than being in the military. I mean, it's a discipline. Leadership in the military, we always talked about, is doing all the right things when nobody's around, but it's making the choice, right?
Yeah.
To get up and go to work, because when you work for yourself, that's very different, right?
Yeah. You have to push yourself to be there. very easily a lot of restaurant tours that are not successful. It's because they're not involved. They don't see what's going on daily. They don't see the small mistakes that are being made that end up being a huge obstacle to overcome, because things, it's like a drop in a glass. If you're not careful, it'll overflow, and you got to prevent it from happening. How do you do that? By being involved.
Well, guys, we're getting ready to go into commercial, and we're going to be back with Andy for our last segment of Battle Ready. We've appreciated so far. Welcome back to Battle Ready. We've been talking with Andy Carrera from Andy's Bar and Grill and Andy's Kitchen in the Cypress area. You know, as we talked about his journey, and as our show talks about, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react and overcome it and what resources you. Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you.
So we've talked a lot about all the stuff you do for the community, all the stuff that, you know, what you put into your kitchen. Mm. Well, I'm going to put you in coaching mode for a minute, right?
Okay.
Because you say you're very competitive. What would you say to a person that's going to start their own business, whether it's in the restaurant industry or anything? What do you need to do when you're building your team?
So know that you, as the person that's going to be in charge, what that means. You have to have a plan. You have to have the level of due diligence that's going to rub off and push onto your subordinates. Every job that I've had, I've always wanted to be in charge. Not because of the power, because I want to lead and I want to reduplicate myself. I had once a supervisor that told me, you're only as good as the people beneath you and the people beside you. And the people beside you are the people that you're selecting that you see that could duplicate your ability. If you're able to do what you want to be able to be a self-starting businessman, you have to have the ability to show people what you do to be successful. I have a network, you know, that I talk to other restaurant owners, even in the Cypress area. We bounce ideas off of each other. Hey, how did you accomplish this? How did you do this? Hey, how are you doing that? We network, we talk, we work. We make sure things are positive. The outcome of what you put into it, you have to always look for the final product being something that you could be proud of. Having pride in what you do and instilling that in the people that work for you, again, beside you. It's not just people that are under you, it's people that are in the community, other restaurant owners, other business owners. We network, we work together, we help each other out. How? By our product being positive and our outcome being something that'll strengthen other companies as well.
You know, and I really like that about you. I know that, I know we talked before, I used to be a military recruiter, and probably one of the most successful tours I had was in a town called Clovis, New Mexico, where we showed up at the high school. All the services showed up in one car. Yeah. And we know the right services for every person doesn't make one better than the others.
Yeah.
There's a right service. And so we helped everybody see us as a team. And I think that's what you're doing out there with the restaurants, huh?
Yep. Well, you know, it's kind of like the things that fit and that don't fit. You know, something may not fit properly 100%. But how do you adjust that to make it work? Little things that may be a trip and fall situation. You fall, you pick up, and you keep going. Again, the competitive side. Everybody has to have, you have to find what triggers people to do the right thing and do things better. Once you figure out that formula on each person is different, every attitude is different, but how do you mold that attitude? How do you mold that person to have your same way of thinking when it comes to your career or your just who you are and what you're doing. Whether you're working for me or a friend or what have you, everybody knows they can come to me. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to give them what they need to be successful by talking to them, mentoring them. You know, looking for a positive in every negative, you get better results in life and in your business.
Well, I know one thing that I definitely like about you and your team is that, you know, I told you I was in the military. In the military, they teach us, all right, you need to grow the people under you to take your position.
Yep.
This way you can grow. And when I was in corporate America, they weren't as, you know, open to that.
Yep.
Because they felt like if you taught them too much, they're going to take your position. There was no reason for you.
Yep.
On the drive down here, you had mentioned, I said, well, how do you do all this? who runs this, who runs that? And you say it runs on its own. How did you make that happen?
Well, it's a well-oiled machine. I'm pretty sure people have heard that. And how do you oil a machine? You have to have the resources. How do you get the resources? You treat them right, you treat them with respect, and you make them feel that they're part of the team. The worst player can obviously become the best player. How do you do that? Showing them, telling them, coaching them up so they can get what they need to do.
That was...
So that's how we get that done. We make sure that people understand everybody has a position, everybody has a place, and everybody has a piece of the puzzle to make success work.
I appreciate that. That scared me. I usually tear my phone off. And you did, and I should have done it at the same time. But so you coach these people, and you're never worried about them going anywhere.
No. You got to give them the strength. How do you do that? You know, it's kind of like going to the gym. Why do people go into the gym? They want to better their health. Why do people do certain things? Because they want to do better. You know, some people read a lot because they want to learn. Other people are people that lead by example. Other are visual people. So you got to know how to put all those together to make the big picture work. In my line, it's, you know, having two restaurants and I want to be successful. So everybody that walks in the door is greeted. Everybody that leaves. Our slogan when they're leaving is "See you tomorrow." Why that? Because we want to see you again. So we jokingly, back on the back of our shirts, every staff member has a slogan that says, "See you tomorrow," both restaurants, because we want our customers to come back. The only way they're going to come back is if they get the right product, they get the right service, and they get treated for properly. And that's instilled into our employees. So when you have a rookie cook that's in the kitchen, you want that cook to know, hey, that guy that's been working for me, because I've had cooks that have been with me since I opened for 8 to 10 years now. How do you get those to the same speed? Of course, not going to happen overnight. But the guy that's been there 10 years has got to open up to the new person, make them feel welcome, and show them everything that they know, just like I did to get them trained. Training is important. Having people feel like they're part of the team. Team building skills are something that's unique for everybody.
And then you're talking about all the great stuff, but what about the firing? I mean, you got to let people go when they don't make it. So how does that – I know that hurts you.
Well, I use what I call coaches for success. Now, not everybody is going to be successful. Not the right place, not the right time. They got issues, personal issues. They don't want to be in the industry and things like that. I give everybody the ample opportunity to improve and do better. It's usually when somebody is gone, it's because we've sat down and we've decided that this may not be the place for them, or I'll help them find a job that they can be successful in. I don't think anybody is not incapable of doing things. There's just certain pegs that don't fit. You can't squeeze a square peg into a circle. You got to find how you mold those people to get that to work. And I've had customers and employees that have come back later on because they didn't like the experience that they had. And they thank me. They say, you know what? Now that you've done this adjustment or what have you, look at me now. I'm a better person. So I've got friends that I've had for years, for 30 plus years, that have attempted to replicate what I do, but they don't realize what it is and what it takes to do it. It seems simple. You know, I started selling food on the side of the road, and 9 years later, I have a catering business and two restaurants. And I'm proud to say that I've done it with sweat and tears, not only for me, for my friends, for my family, and the people that support me.
And I remember you saying that that you try all the different recipes and you take it to competitions they kind of help you. I'm going to go this one.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not this one.
Yeah. I mean, having a little get together on the 4th of July or whatever, we'll try, hey, we're going to try this brisket doing it this way. We're going to do chicken this way. And sometimes you take a bite out of a chicken and the rest of it gets chopped up and given, you know, into the trash because it wasn't what we wanted, you know. And then other times we cook a simple burger that was like, wow, this is awesome. And you stick to the things that you like and you dispose of the ones you don't like when it comes to recipes.
So, again, tell me where we can find your restaurants.
Okay, they're in Cypress, Texas. 290 Mueschke Mason Road, and Cypresswood in the Fairfield area.
And you have a lot of events there. And if you want to have a catering, they just reach out to you on your website?
Yes, sir. At the www.andy'sbarandgrill.cypresstexas. We have caterings there that you can click on. And we do a mobile kitchen setup. We have food trucks that we can bring out. And we do graduation events, festivals, and fundraising that way as well.
And you said, I mean, I had to plug this in. You were the first food truck at where?
At the Cypress Roseo Beer Garden.
And that was before they were real, real cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you get any feedback when you were trying to do that? And it was like, oh man, what are you doing with a food truck?
Yeah, I had customers that would come up and say, how do you produce the burgers that you're making in a mobile kitchen like that? And that's, you know, the small kitchen with a big heart type attitude. We just try to do the best. I do that every day. Every day I wake up and think of things that I could do to make it better, whether it be a new recipe or just in general. I always try to strive for more.
So some of the points you say is, you gotta be involved.
Yes, sir, 100%.
You have to have a forever attitude so that you, yep. I mean, you gotta be part of everything.
Yep.
Coaching.
Coaching for success.
And don't be scared to try some, huh?
Yeah, just jump. I saw a video from Steve Harvey that said, you just have to jump. If there's anybody out there that wants to do something different, out of their comfort zone, y'all need to watch that video.
Well, guys, we've been with Andy, the owner of Andy's Bar and Grill and Andy's Kitchen in the Cypress area, talking about his journey, family from Uruguay, now restaurant owner and part of the community of Cypress.
Yes, and I'm proud to be a part of that community. It's a big city, obviously with everything there, but a small, tight, knit-ship type atmosphere. Really enjoy it.
Well, guys, we appreciate you guys joining us with Battle Ready today. Hope everybody has an amazing day, and we'll see you next week on Battle Ready.